Good morning, church. So good to be here to worship together with all of you. What a wonderful time of the year. It is a Christmas season. And it is a time of good news and great joy. Thank you so much for our worship team leading us to worship our Lord together this morning. This week, we will have double message back to back, today and tomorrow. So I will keep my sermon short. The sermon title this morning is Now and Soon, from Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. Now, please put our focus on the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. We can meditate on these verses as we read. Hear then what the Holy Scripture said. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. This is the word of the Lord. I think this is the shortest scriptures I have read in this pulpit. Let us pray. Dear Father, we come before you now acknowledging that this is your word to us. We pray that you would cause our ear to open and our heart to reverently receive it. We pray, O Lord, that we would hear it in faith, believing that you would open our eyes and behold wonderful truth in your word, that you would exalt Christ in our heart in and by your word and your Holy Spirit. We would then rejoice and give praise of your wonderful love for us, and that you would receive all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In this Christmas season, while we celebrate with singing, food, and gifts, we must center ourselves with the truth reason of the celebration. It is about God come to us. It is about we are given the chance to reconcile with God. It is about God's kingdom restoration. It is all started before and after Genesis 1. God's planned everything before he created the world. He started everything when he created the world. And he told Satan and the world what he's going to do after mankind rebel and sins against him. From Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we know that. God said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his head." And that promised offspring is Jesus Christ. The book of Mark, in the first half of the chapter, might introduce us to the main character of the story, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he is the key person in this season of Christmas. You see, he was the promised one to come in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And John the Baptist was his forerunner. And from in Isaiah, John quote, "Make ready the way of the Lord." And we saw the word Lord actually referred to God himself. Such that John said, "After me comes the one more powerful than I, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie." In preparation for his coming, John called people to repent, to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord that was promised for centuries throughout the Old Testament. And so one day Jesus came. He came to be baptized by John. And as he came out of the water, the Spirit of God was seen descending on him. in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. The very Spirit of God would rest on him. And then a voice came from heaven, the voice of the Father. You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. There could be no doubting Jesus was God's own Son. In fact, God himself revealed in flesh. This, you see, is a foundational truth of Christianity, that Jesus was more than just a prophet or a good man or a good teacher, but he is the very Son of God. Jesus was entering into his public ministry by proclaiming, "The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near." It was the proclamation he would take out Satan from his kingdom. This would be a cosmic battle because Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil, to destroy sin and death. I want you to catch that. Jesus came to deal with sin, with our rebellion against our Creator. And because we have rebelled, every one of us here, God's wrath is rightly leveled against us. It doesn't take much to convince people today they are sinners. The challenge is, does it really matter? I mean, I'm not that bad, right? Most of the people will argue. We will also think that I can always find someone worse than me. And God is not really that mad. I don't really deserve eternal punishment. And besides, God won't do that, would he? He is a God of love, not a holy God of wrath. And so we see the gospel as the good news that God loved us and want to make my life better. He wants to be my friend. Give me good things, like a universal vending machine. I can go to him in prayer and he will give me the thing I want, the thing I ask for. But believe it or not, many people think about God that way. It is not that we cannot ask things from God, but that is not God in the whole picture. The sermon, "Like Sinners in the Hands of Angry God," by Edward, is outdated. We need to update the picture. Give God a makeover. That's what the world thinks. Make him more pleasant, acceptable, likable. You see? Better yet, if I can convince myself there is no God, I can live however I want. That is what happened to today Christmas around the world. God is not in the picture. Jesus is not in the picture. The true message of Christmas is that God has fulfilled in time his promises through his Son. That God's kingdom is here, brought near by the King. And our response to it should be twofold: repent and believe. Those words are actually commands, since the time is fulfilled and since the King has brought the kingdoms near. Jesus commands us, repent and believe the good news. The good news of Christmas can only be your true celebration when you know the truth and respond it in submission according to his command. Last Sunday, five of you obey to the commands and submit yourself to the commands of your Lord Jesus Christ. What a joyous day that all the angels in heaven rejoice together with you. Now, let us turn back to the scripture. Look at verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Now, stop right there. John, of course, is John the Baptist here. He had been doing his ministry in Judea. Mark doesn't tell us here why he was taken into prison, at least not till chapter 6. There, we will see John was preaching against Herod Antipas, taking his brother Philip's wife. Herodias was her name. In other words, John was preaching against the sins of Herod Antipas committed. Taking a married woman to be his wife, taking his brother's wife. That is sin. Herod Antipas didn't like it, so he had John arrested. Which is interesting, you see. People don't like it when you preach against sin, especially their sin. You can talk about other people's sin, not mine. This is the offense of the gospel, you see. Before the good news can only be the true good news, you must know how bad is the bad news. So, in the gospel of God, knowing that we are sinners is inevitable. All of us need of a Savior, and that is the good news. But people will say, hey, Pastor, don't tell me I'm a sinner. I like myself, and I like my way of life. I like my sin, and I choose to sin over Jesus. So thank you very much. Don't tell me that. I'll go to the place that tell me about the love of God instead of my sin. Sometimes we Christians, one thing to make Jesus more attractive, we remove the sting, the offense of the gospel. We remove the bad news. We tell people, Jesus loves you and wants to be your friend. And that's true. But there's something that stands in the way of your friendship with God. That stands in the way you being reconciled to God, which is your sin. We must address that. So many would not like to hear that, so they just don't listen. Choose not to agree. You might just say, I just don't think or don't believe that we are sinners in the hands of angry God. But the word of God in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 10 tells us, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us. God knows our condition. God knows we are deep in sin, yet we do not want to admit it. And we are blinded by Satan, and we deceive ourselves. So the first statement from Jesus is that the time has come. What is the time? The time, that decisive moment for the fulfillment of the promise in the Old Testament, starting from Genesis chapter 3. The time that God came to crush Satan, the evil one. The time that God came to remove the lie of Satan from all of us, from all the people in the world. The time He came to show the truth to the world. You see, after we, mankind, rebels against God, He promised a time would come when the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. What does that mean? Satan hath tempted Eve and Adam. She and Adam hath eaten of the fruit that God commanded them not to eat. Their act of rebellion plundered humanity into sin. But God promised when that happened, there would come a man who would crush Satan hates. He would come to destroy the work of the devil, which is sin and death, which caused sin and death. Jesus was born of woman, a virgin birth, God in flesh. He came to fulfill that promise and all the others. Remember when God appeared to Abraham and said, "Through you, Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed." And Jesus came from the nation of Israel to bless the rest of the world. The time has been fulfilled, Paul said. Paul said it in this way, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." The time had come for the fulfillment of the promises. Jesus has come, and in his coming, he bought the kingdom of God. To most people, God seemed far away. God didn't seem very real. Many probably thought that if God did exist, he has totally checked out and abandoned this world. That's why we ask the question, if God is there, why the world full of suffering? You see? Why he had even allowed a crazy man like Herod to rule and terrorize his people? Honestly, the world didn't look like the kingdom of heaven, but kind of like living hell. So where's God? We have seen and heard chaos every day around us or in the world. War, crime, wickedness, the list can go on and on. So, where is God? That is why we celebrate in this season. In this chaotic world, Jesus is saying, God has intervened in human history. God has started bringing his kingdom, his rule, into the realm of where human beings live. God has been doing it quietly right in our midst. Though we were unaware of it, God was bringing his kingdom near through the coming of his son, Jesus Christ. People need the eyes of faith to see it. In this one person, Jesus, God's kingdom has come near. So, how so? The kingdom of God referred to God's right to rule his creation. While we have rebelled, Jesus, through his coming and his work, brought the kingdom of God near. And we are able to enter the kingdom. Jesus came to give people real access to God. Jesus offered us all God's grace of forgiveness of sin. This grace of God brings us spiritual healing. Through Jesus, no matter how sinful we are, we can draw near to God and experience his amazing grace. Fundamentally, God's grace becomes our hope. His grace enables us to see the world ourselves. And his grace be able to lead us to live differently, not as cruel, vicious people using and hurting each other, but as transformed people, gracious members of his kingdom. People full of God's love, peace, and forgiveness. Eventually, we will transform to be like his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus not only would die for our sin, but would be raised from the dead to give us a living hope in heaven. One day he will come back to this world and bring his kingdom in full. In light of this hope, we should live wisely, wanting for the full restoration of his kingdom. So, how do we enter the kingdom? How do we become citizens of the kingdom? And Jesus told us here, repent. The words mean to change your mind, to turn away from sin and rebellion. Becoming a follower of Jesus Christ requires that you confess and repent. To confess is to agree you are guilty of what you have charged. You have been charged. You are a guilty sinner. The word repent literally means to change your mind. It is especially means to come to God personally, asking Him to forgive us. Asking Him to be in a real relationship with Him. And it means to get rid of whatever in our lives may be hindering us from having that relationship. Which means people will confess their sin. They were admitting the wrong they have done and asking God's forgiveness. It meant stop, rationalize, making excuses, blaming our situation or others. Stop living in denial, but humble ourselves, own up to our own sin and take responsibility for it. To repent isn't a mind game or intellectual exercise. It means taking drastic action. Repentance is coming to the realization that you are indeed rebels against God. You acknowledge your sin and see the issue of your sin. But it's much more than just feeling sorry about your sin. Although it includes that, but Paul said, there is a worldly sorrow that leads to death, and a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. Again, being sorry you are a sinner isn't enough. Godly sorrow leading to repentance is having realized your sin is rebellion against God and feeling sorrow over your sin, it leads you to a change of heart and mind, a change of direction, a change of purpose. And you don't want to be rebellious against God anymore. From this sorrow will cause you to think that, I don't want this anymore. I want to have right relationship with God. James chapter 4 verse 8 says, come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hand, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. When we repent, we start seeing sin the way God does. Instead of loving it, we start to hate it. It is not a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It is a lifestyle of hating sin. To repent means to keep struggling against our sins and coming to God for forgiveness, no matter how often we may fail. But here's the truth. There's nothing you can do to erase your sin. Nothing you can do to pardon your own sin. And nothing you can do to make up for your sin. And so, you repent. You turn from the sin and you turn to Jesus. That is the second command. You believe in the gospel, the good news that Jesus, who He said He was, and did what He came to do, to die on the cross for your sin, so that you could be forgiven. You see, while it is true that everyone is a sinner such that God's wrath is rightly revealed from heaven, it is also true that God's righteousness is also revealed from heaven. Jesus told us, repent and believe the good news. Means is this good news is available and accessible to anyone. to everyone. It is a message of great hope, even for the most sinful person. Now, the word believe what? Believe the gospel. Believe the good news that God sent His Son to make a way for your sin to be forgiven, for you to be made right before God. Paul goes on, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For no one is good, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's it. In His glorious perfection and in His standard of perfection, we have sinned. But by faith in Jesus, we can be declared righteousness before God. And being justified as a gift that given by His grace to redemption, which is Christ Jesus. You can be redeemed, bought out of your slavery of sin through His work on the cross. Jesus turned God's wrath away from you by shedding His blood. He bore your sin on the cross so that all who believe in Him by faith can be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin and its corresponding judgment. And saved from eternal death in hell. After Jesus bearing your sin and dying on the cross, He was buried for 3 days. Then He came back to life. It's called the resurrection. And because He was raised from the death, we too as believers will one day be raised to be with God forever. This is the gospel. This is the good news Jesus came to bring. So in His first message, He said to you, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is right here for you to enter. This is the time. He brings the kingdom to all of us so that we can have access to it. See, all you have to do is repent and turn from your sin and believe the gospel. The word believe means trust. Trust that Jesus accomplished what you could not by His perfect life and death and resurrection for you. If you confess Him as your Lord, you can be saved. The King is calling out to you. The King bring His kingdom come to all of us. And He say to you, change your heart. Turn back to Me. Turn away from your wicked way. And come and enter into the kingdom where I have prepared for you from the very beginning. Before the world was created, that is His plan. To have all His creation to enter into His kingdom. And He will be our King, and we will be His citizen. Now, I would like to ask the worship team come up here. And I want you to understand this, dear brother and sister. This is the gospel. This is the good news of Christmas. This is what Christianity is all about. And it is real. God is real. And this is not a story. It is the truth that God sent His one and only Son, Jesus, who is God Himself, came to live and die for all of us whom are the hopeless sinner, because He loved us. And He came to make a way for us to be reconciled, redeemed, brought back into right relationship with God. Are you not tired of your sin? Are you not tired of trying to be good and be right and find that you fail at every turn? I want you to understand that Jesus Christ has made a way for you to be made right. And I'm simply going to ask you to respond to what he has done for you. May I ask you to stand as we prepare ourselves to worship? Whatever it may be, let us bring it before the cross. Whatever you have, whatever you have struggled with, whatever sin in your life, and if you have not known Jesus, and today you hear this gospel, and you want to set free from your sin, this morning, Jesus is telling you, his kingdom is here, and the time is fulfilled. Believe. Repent and believe the good news. Bring your sin under the cross. And that is the power of the gospel. And if you want to be free this morning, come. Bring all your sorrow, all of your pain, all of your wrong, and all of your struggle to Jesus. He will not despise a brokenhearted, he said. He will set you free and give you rest. This is the good news of this wonderful gospel. It is a gospel that enables us to have our record set straight and our sin wiped off before God. The washing we need for every stain that in our entire life to be removed. And the power of this good news will deliver you from death and give you eternal life. And transform and recreate you from inside out. As you stand here, you pray to him. You tell to Jesus. You commit yourself to him. If you want us to pray along with you, please do come to the front anytime. And during the response song, we would like to pray with you. Let us all give thanks to our King, Jesus. Let us be so grateful to what God has done as we celebrate this Christmas. The kingdom of God is near, and it is in our midst. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we celebrate this season, we remember of you. We remember what you have done. You sent your Son to come. You bring your kingdom to come to us. You said, the time is come. Satan is defeated. We have victory as your people. Those who believe, repent and believe the good news will have access, enter into your kingdom. Father, we thank you. We're grateful for this wonderful, wonderful news for this Christmas. As we celebrate, we want to remember the people around us who still do not know you, who still have not heard this good news, let us share this love with them. Father, for us, those who hear your gospel for the first time, or second time, or third time, but have not come to you, Father, this morning I ask, Lord, your Holy Spirit will work in their heart. You'll reveal your truth to them, and they will see your truth. And they too will repent and believe in your gospel. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen.